it off consent.
All right.
But Greg Thomas will be here to talk about.
Okay. All right, City Council will come back from recess. We're going to consider the consent agenda, and we have two items. Commissioner Fritz would like to pull item number 8 for discussion today. So if you could please read item number 8 title.
Okay, number 8 is authorized grant application to the Federal Highway Administration up to $1,350,000 for I-405 Cooch-Burnside Interchange Improvements.
Okay, so that'll go to the regular agenda. Into the regular agenda.
I'm sorry, we have some more consent items to be pulled.
Yeah, I'm getting to.
Oh, you want? Okay.
I think I am. And then I'd like to pull, or Commissioner Saltzman wants to pull item number 9. If you could read that, and we're going to continue that unless there's objections to next week.
Mm-hmm. Number 9, authorized contract with Good Sport Promotion Inc. for $248,500. For volunteer management and recruitment services through the Portland Sunday Parkways program.
So that continues to next week. And then what's the third one?
21. Is authorize a contract and provide payment for the purchase of a tractor-drawn aerial apparatus for Portland Fire and Rescue.
And is that to be
read? Substituted.
It's going to be substituted on the regular agenda. Okay, so that'll be heard at the end of the regular. So, with what remains of the consent agenda, Carla, can you please call the roll on the consent, the vote on the consent agenda?
Uh-huh. Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. Consent agenda is approved. Move to the regular, move to the regular meeting agenda. Can you please read the title? It's a street vacation, item number 23.
Vacate a portion of Northwest Irving Street between Northwest 4th Avenue and Northwest 5th Avenue, subject to certain conditions and reservations.
Hi, welcome.
Hello, good morning. Happy New Year.
And to you.
My name is Lance Lindahl. I'm with the Bureau of Transportation. Before you today is a city-initiated street vacation to vacate the portion of Northwest Irving Street between Northwest 4th and 5th Avenues. This portion of Irving Street was created in 1994 to help improve access in the area around Portland's Union Station. But for the past several years, the area has been used by TriMet for operation of the green and yellow line light rail system.
Oh, that part, yeah.
Yeah, and unlike a lot of areas where right-of-way operates, or excuse me, where light rail transit operates within the public right-of-way, there is a number of rail storage lines and switching operations in this area that require the public to be excluded in terms of vehicle access and pedestrian use.
And Ben, is, I can't remember, are vacations treated just so this would be treated as a non-emergency? Okay. Any council discussion? All right. Does anyone wish to testify on item number 23? All right. Then it moves to a second reading consideration next week. Thank you. Can you please read resolution item number 24?
Authorize the Employee Transition Services Program for the period January 4, 2012 through June 30, 2013.
Hi, welcome.
Morning. I'm Andrew Scott, Financial Planning Manager. this resolution this morning asks Council to acknowledge significant resource constraints from now through fiscal year 2012-13 in order to authorize and initiate the Employee Transition Services Program. And before I go into the details on the resource constraints, I just want to note the resolution that was filed did contain a drafting error, as the date in the resolution doesn't match the date in the title. So I just want to make it clear that the intent is to acknowledge these resource constraints and authorize the Employee Transition Services Program through June 30, 2013. So the title date is correct, and my understanding is that can be treated as a drafting error in terms of the resolution.
So no amendment is needed.
In terms of the resource constraints, just briefly, OMF presented the preliminary five-year forecast to Council on December 7th. As we discussed at that time, property taxes are expected to be about $8.5 million lower in fiscal year 12-13 than were previously forecasted last April of 2011. That's mainly due to falling real market values that have been increasing compression. Growth in general fund property tax collections is likely to be subdued at least through fiscal year 2013-14. In the long term, property tax collections are likely to be more volatile as a result of the declining real market values and compression issues. Should the real market values rise rapidly, property taxes would also rise as compression we're currently experiencing unwinds. However, it's not clear at this point whether the real estate market will drop further or whether it's already bottomed out. In addition to the property tax issues, near-term inflation is running higher than expected due to some sustained high commodity prices over the last year. And just as a reminder to council, for every 1 percentage point of a consumer price index that we experience, it increases the city's personnel costs by about $2.1 million in general fund discretionary. And again, those costs are built into 1213. So given the revenue issues and also the higher inflation, we do expect to experience resource constraints, again, as we discussed during the forecast. And for these reasons, we're asking council to acknowledge those resource constraints officially and then also authorize the Employee Transition Services Program, again, through June 30th, 2013. And we're happy to answer any questions you have about the resolution.
Can you explain the Employee Transition Services Program?
Yes, Commissioner Anna Canwood, Assistant Director of Bureau of Human Resources. The Employee Transition Services Program consists of a number of components that council has authorized in the past the HR director to at least consider and perhaps implement. Examples are the program contains a provision of encouragement of a reduced work week, a 72-hour work reduced schedule, 72 hours per pay period rather than 80 hours, which results in 10% salary savings. There is a provision for expanded transfer, which is also covered in the in HR Human Resources Administrative Rule, but under a resolution, if this is adopted, allows the HR director to waive a competitive process for that transfer so that an employee could transfer to a position of a salary of 20% above or below. Last year, we negotiated with DC2 to allow red circling of an employee's salary rate for a year if they chose to take that route. The benefit of that, it reduces some of the impact caused by and the disruption caused by bumping as employees kind of move through the organization.
What's red circling?
Excuse me?
What is red circling?
Oh, the employee's salary is not reduced. If they take a job at a lower level, their salary is not reduced for a period of time. A hiring freeze that we had implemented last year as part of the employee transition program as well. We've had, at times, implemented a layoff with a safety net severance. In other words, the city picked up the entire coverage of a laid off employee's insurance health benefits coverage up to 9 months. This is fairly expensive, but if you recall, the federal government passed ERA, which I don't know what the acronym stands for now, that the federal government picked up 65% of that cost, and that program is no longer in effect. So these are the various components. What has to be weighed is some of them have a cost implication, others don't, and obviously in times of fiscal restraint, the ones with cost implication may be more difficult or less advisable to implement than others that really don't, such as a hiring freeze.
And I have just a technical question. The resolution authorizes a transition services program, but it goes on to say that it authorizes the Bureau of Human Resources to bargain as necessary these issues. So are we being asked to implement a program, or is this program subject to a duty to bargain?
Components of it are subject to duty to bargain. A safety net severance would be subject to bargaining with our represented employees. Provision for the expanded transfer for the red circling, and actually when we did the expanded transfer a year ago, we also negotiated with DC2 retaining the ability of the person who took the expanded transfer instead of being bumped or laid off, retained their rights to recall to their former position should that have happened. So there were components of that that had bargaining implications.
And if I could just, a further explanation I would add is that why this way is that it allows the Bureau of Human Resources to work with individual commissioners and individual bureau managers to deal with the inevitable unique situations of talent and bumping and severance and all kinds of individual employee issues.
Yes, thank you.
I guess the other question I had is Andrew in his comments said that in part he's asking us to acknowledge that we're going to have a potential budget shortfall, and I assume that the budget memo we all authored and sent out is, in fact, an acknowledgement that we're anticipating significant budget shortfalls, right?
Yes, and the reason for this resolution is to authorize the Employee Transition Services Program. Council has to officially acknowledge resource constraints, and that's based on the ordinances that are referenced that were passed back in 2001.
Okay, thank you.
Does this the Employee Transition Services apply only to represented employees?
No.
So it can apply to management as well?
Yes, correct. And there's provisions such as the hiring freeze that can be implemented, obviously, because it has to do with hiring that have has no bargaining implications, but can
there,
be a
there
useful
There is no
tool.
Hiring freeze in place right now?
No.
Okay.
Well, just to be clear, it would be my legislative, it is my legislative intent that we do have a hiring freeze that allows for hardship cases of exceptions, but we do have a hiring freeze so that the conversations between division heads, department managers, bureau managers, commissioners in charge, budget shop, HR, that those discussions are very robust, since when somebody retires, it is a great opportunity. It's probably the least impactful opportunity to save money, but that isn't always going to work because sometimes the positions they're retiring out of, you know this, but for the public, they're retiring out of are really key positions that have to be filled. So again, it's sort of, we're in a period now where we need to be more deliberative than we are in normal budget conditions.
Mayor, I support this resolution, and I also would like consideration of an issue which is challenging now with layoffs, but it also is pervasive ongoing, and that is that when an employee is laid off, the Bureau is responsible for unemployment payments. And in a situation where an employee bumps into a Bureau and then the Bureau has to lay off the person who was in a particular position, it's the receiving Bureau that ends up having to pay the unemployment benefits rather than the Bureau that was cutting the employee. So it's really, to me, I would like financial planning and HR to look into having a citywide pool for paying unemployment benefits rather than it being a cost to the Bureau whenever there's a layoff, that particularly in small bureaus, it can be really difficult to manage those costs. And it does seem like if we're bumping citywide, that the unemployment compensation should be dealt with citywide rather than by the bureaus.
So if you could do some research on that and confer with us on options.
Yeah, we'd be happy to do that, and we'll involve risk management. They're actually responsible for that program, and come back.
Thank you. Thank you.
Any other discussion on council? Do we have anyone signed up to testify?
Yes, we have two people. Erica B. Askin and Kevin Stampfli. Come on up.
Hi, welcome. Please come forward. Even if it's just for moral support.
Oh, thank you.
Glad you're here. You just need to give us your names. And if you're authorized to speak on behalf of any organization.
Sure. Erica Askin, Laborers Local 483. Happy New Year, Council.
Kevin Stampfli. I work at the Maintenance Bureau.
I have a statement to deliver from our executive board, who endorsed the statement yesterday. The executive board appreciates the resolution brought before council to authorize implementation of the Employee Transition Services Program, and we ask you to vote yes on that. If the resolution is adopted by council and numerous layoffs are in fact imminent, then our affected membership will ask HR to implement the portions of the ETS program that are best for the well-being of our union and to the public. We realize these are difficult decisions and commend everyone who steps forward to make them. We believe, however, that our public efforts before City Council are far from over. Authorization of the ETS program is a necessary and worthwhile step to take when there are resource constraints that would make, for instance, $16.2 million in the Bureau of Transportation necessary in the next fiscal year alone. However, the ETS program is really just a backup plan. and it's for when such an emergency exists. And we believe that only a matter of political will can solve the problem of resource constraints. Those resources that the city has should be providing essential city services and prevent use of the ETS program and hopefully prevent layoffs entirely. As has been mentioned by us on numerous occasions, our members consider cuts and layoffs of massive proportions like the ones proposed in the Bureau of Transportation to be an emergency, not only because our families and lives are at stake, but also because the services that are essential to the public interest are at stake. City thoroughfares won't be maintained by putting our members in transportation maintenance on unemployment. And even with the ETS services for PBOT maintenance workers, Portland's sidewalks and streets will continue to crumble without immediate and ongoing funding. The facts are becoming clear to us. Portland's street maintenance crisis is self-created. Reliance on fluctuating gas tax receipts has led to a massive and growing backlog of maintenance and proposed street, sidewalk, and bikeway improvements. This isn't going to get any better, as everybody knows. And resources have been shifted out of PBOT through general fund overhead charges and transfers to other city bureaus. There's accumulated resources far in excess of requirements in those funds. And the purpose of those internal service funds is to support bureaus like PBOT, which directly serve the public. Last year, in the last reported fiscal year, I should say, internal service funds held $110,186,791 in unrestricted net assets available for any legal purpose. Now, that number includes all internal service funds after accounting for current and future liabilities. We ask council to declare a holiday on general fund overhead charges and transfers from PBOT. We have solutions for the long term, too. That's just a short-term solution, and we're working with stakeholders to develop a funding model that would get us away from the GTR tax. So, in short, we ask council to examine its internal service funds and in the long term to join with stakeholders wanting city thoroughfares maintained properly and funded. Thank you.
Eric, I just have one question. You say in the letter that you're working with stakeholders on a new funding mechanism, and we consider ourselves one of your stakeholder groups. What precisely are you looking at?
A street maintenance fee.
Okay.
Sir, would you like to add anything?
Yes. The ETS program is a good program, and I encourage you to pass it. It is my understanding we are in a $16.2 million cut at BOM and that we have to take immediately. The Bureau is saying that to us that we should take the pain now than rather go through it year after year, which means to me that people are going to be laid off prematurely. If there is $110 million in funds, why can't we use 16 of it to bridge the five-year gap while we work on other funding solutions other than GTR revenue? I don't disagree that times are tough, but City Council needs to make some tough decisions right now, and we all do. The question for us all is, do we let our infrastructure go and give the work of laborers to employers who pay people too little for a contract that expires when the short-term job is done, or do we keep the men and women of the Maintenance Bureau who know about the infrastructure, who care about more than 500,000 people who see the jobs that we do in the long term? Do we pay decent wages that provide for their families or go with whatever's cheapest, even if it means putting people out on the street? The reason why we're all in City Hall right now is because we care about people over profits. And the workers who do your street maintenance are people, too. And maintaining Portland is a matter of pride. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your testimony. Appreciate it. Thank you all for being here. All right.
So may I ask a couple of follow-up questions of staff?
Yeah.
Thank you very much for your testimony. Thank you for being here. So my first question, I was reminded of by the laborer's testimony, and what's the difference between what we're passing today and the fiscal emergency that we did, I think, previously?
I believe the last resolution, it was very similar to this. It declared a resource constraint, which essentially the language in the original ordinance, council must declare a fiscal emergency or acknowledge significant resource constraints.
So that's what we're doing today.
Exactly.
And thank you. What about the question of $110 million in an unused fund?
Well, I would need to follow up with labor about that. I believe they're talking about internal service funds. The city does have reserves and contingencies in all of its funds, internal service funds and other enterprise funds as well. And those are for a variety of different purposes. I can't speak specifically to the internal service funds today.
So we will definitely be scrubbing each and every one of those big and small buckets to see if there are funds available to help bridge in this emergency.
Yes, and we actually scrubbed them in the last budget cycle, and that's how we were able to fund some of the gaps. So it's a good reminder for last year's budget.
Yeah, we are all in this together, so we really appreciate your advocacy and the OMF's work in looking in every possible nook and cranny to see how we can provide these great services to the citizens of Portland. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Would you please call the vote on the resolution? And if I could, to my colleagues, if your legislative intent is different around the freeze, because this is an opportunity for us to provide direction to our staff, mm-hmm. if you're freeze with exceptions, as we've done in the past, it'd be great if you could give some individual direction that if it's different than what I would hope we do. Carla?
Fritz?
Thank you, Mayor. Yes, I do support that concept. My understanding from talking with staff is that it would include continuing with hirings already in process and hirings planned in particular for the Director of the Office of Equity. I support this resolution. I very much appreciate Laborers 483 for their advocacy over the past several months in making sure that we do these, obviously the leadership of the mayor and HR and financial planning. We've gotten through some really tough times over the past 3 years, and things have not gotten better this year. So we will need to continue to tighten belts and look in every single place that we can for both efficiencies and for resources. And so I agree that we do need to, again, start the discussion that Mayor Adams had as commissioner in terms of funding for street improvements. And at some point, that will need to be part of a discussion with citizens. But clearly right now, we don't have more resources, and we need to make the best of what we have. So I appreciate this resolution and happy to support it. Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Well, I'm in full support of this resolution. I guess on the hiring freeze issue, I would like to revisit it because I'm not sure a freeze with exceptions is really a hiring freeze. Although I do believe, certain key positions that are in the pipeline, like the Office of Equity. But I would like to, I'll discuss it with the Human Resources first, but I assume we'll be revisiting this in our budget process, too. I'm just, I'm just not sure a freeze with exceptions is really a hiring freeze. So maybe some information you could provide me is how many people have we hired during previous hiring freezes. But nevertheless, I'm pleased to vote today for this program, painful as it is, but necessary program. Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Adams?
I appreciate the commissioners. I'm glad that we're doing a hiring freeze. Happy to look at what it means to have exceptions. In our last hiring freeze, we did freeze. And I get reports on, a biweekly basis during the freeze of what exceptions have been made. And the responsibility goes all the way up to the commissioners in charge. And so I'm consulted on the citywide. You're all welcome to get the same sort of citywide reports that I do. If you've got an improvement on our last efforts, I'm also open to that as well. But I'm glad we've got the hiring freeze in place and happy to talk about whether we need to make changes or improvements to it. But I think it's necessary that we start that immediately. So, aye. Thank you for your work. So approved. Can you please read item number 25?
Mm-hmm. Approve council minutes for July through December 2010.
Auditor LaVon Griffin Belay. Councilor Clerk Carla Marlin.
Good morning and Happy New Year. LaVon Griffin Belay, City Auditor, here this morning to introduce the council minutes for July through December of 2010 for your approval, and to introduce Carla Morlove, who will do a very brief presentation on improvements made to the clerk's website in order to make all of the documents that come before council more accessible.
Good morning, Carla Morlove, council clerk. We've improved our website. A lot of people involved. Want to thank all of them. The easiest way to get to the council documents, we heard that that was one of the, an issue was they couldn't find minutes, agendas, that kind of stuff. If you start from the homepage, portlandonline.com, let's click on the View Council Agenda, you'll see our new button here in the middle. It says Council Records. That's where you can get to our new table we've got set up there. Click on that, and we've got a quick link directory. Shows you pick your date of the meeting you're looking for. You can access the agenda, audio, MP3 audios, videos, or and the actual documents. And currently, either the draft or the approved minutes are right there. And as soon as you click on one of those, it will open that up. And if it's a draft, it'll have the watermark draft on it. Or if you go, you can do the videos and audios as well. We think it's pretty easy access to find.
That's great.
Yeah.
Carla, it's nice to put the name and the face together. Having you come before us. And this, this looks like a significant enhancement.
Yeah, the auditor's office did a great job on that.
Carla, who picked the four photographs on the top margin of this?
I did.
Very interesting. Very revealing.
So supposing a citizen doesn't know which agenda a particular item was on, but remember seeing something in the media about something, how do they search for that?
You could do a search in e-files with
that. How do they do that from here? Since you have it up, this is really helpful to show.
I think one of the if you go to the go to the council's clerk's webpage, if you get to the it's right in the middle here. Oops, where'd go? The I'll get to my e-files page here. Sorry about that. If you get to council documents.
Is that a new picture, auditor?
Oh, no.
Really?
That's old. Lots more gray hair since that one was there.
This is from the, I started from the auditor's homepage, and if you clicked on that council documents, that'll bring you right up to the e-files page, which is where you can do the search of for keywords in e-files. Just click right there on the e-files, and you can put a search term in there. You could words, whatever you're looking for. And if all else fails, you could always call us.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
So this is great. I'm just curious, is it available prospectively? So if for the upcoming agenda for next week, will the documents that are filed with you on Thursday or Wednesday?
We only are able to post just titles of upcoming time certains because, you know, our deadline isn't until Thursdays at 5, so our agenda isn't ready until Fridays around 4 o'clock or so. And then that's when our current agenda is posted.
So it is posted and people can look at the documents?
Oh, usually by Friday afternoon, certainly.
Mm-hmm. Great. This is a very great improvement. Thank you.
I want to thank Carla and Sue and Tony Anderson and other staff in the council clerk office put their heads together and made some great improvements, I think, to our accessibility.
Nice work. Great work. Does anyone wish to testify on item number 25? I move we accept.
Before you do that, may I just pass my...
Oh, I didn't know you had anything.
Yeah, I had some Scrivener's errors. My staff and I just looked through what I was purported to have said in these minutes and have identified some minor changes that we would like to have incorporated into the minutes as accepted.
And we looked at these, your staff gave us these this morning, and we agreed we're going to be able to, as they weren't verified with the audio, we'll have to go back through these errors and Scrivener's errors and verify with them with the audio and make the changes accordingly.
Carla, are these technically Scrivener's errors, or, you know, it reminds me when I work out occasionally, and there's a TV screen that has the
closed caption.
And the closed caption tends to be very phonetic, or, you know, it would probably say "I'm envy us" rather than "envious," or there, lots of words get garbled in the. Is that a function of the system we use to translate?
The live person doing it, right? That's what they hear that sometimes, and that's how, you know, they start, because they're going pretty fast. You have, you know, closed captioning is what they're hearing at the time. So, yeah, they're going pretty fast.
So that's my concern, is that the minutes are the transcription of the closed captioning. So, of course, since it's in the moment, there will be errors. There might be the person who's listening doesn't know the name, for instance, of the director of the Office of Healthy Working Rivers, so that they guessed and then it wasn't changed. So that's why I would really like it if we were to be able to approve minutes on a monthly basis or as available. I really appreciate having those links, and we'll have my staff be looking at those on as they come up basis, so that we can do them more in the moment, so that I can actually remember what I said when the Portland Development Commission commissioner was approved, and I can't right now because it's 6 months later. It's a year later.
If I could interject respectfully, the last time this issue came up, I thought that we agreed on our legislative intent, and I don't really want to open that all back up again. And if I recall correctly, our legislative intent is, for the purposes of complying with state law, this is what we're approving for state law.
And it more than satisfies that.
Right. For the purposes of our internal record, that these are the minutes subject to clarification, subject to perfecting and improvement based on consultation with the audio and or video. So that was my understanding. I'm fine with the approval schedule you have us on. And if someone has a different understanding, then now would be the time, although I really don't want to recognize you. But
and if you look, they are, you know, we have been getting them out there. I think we've got right now January through June already for your review. And we were, you know, notifying your staff that they were ready, and now they said they're okay. They'll go to themselves and look for those. So they're out there ready to be reviewed. And it's a prop. You know, we have Sylvia going through the closed captioning. Sue will go through it again, and then I'll go through it again. Closed captioning, not perfect, yeah, but we feel we are certainly catching the substance, which is required by ORS of the meeting.
And I greatly appreciate your diligence. Do you have a sense of when today's draft minutes will be available on that screen that you just showed us?
They're up there now, right?
Today's meeting. This is a short meeting, so we can probably have it up within 2 weeks.
So, and is there any kind of notification when those are posted?
I have been notifying your office.
Okay,
they
great.
Requested now that since it's on the table, they're picking it up
great.
Themselves.
Thank you very much.
Just so I'm clear, because the changes that are highlighted in the document Commissioner Fritz has handed out are largely syntax, grammar, capitalization, things like that. I mean, hey, we'd all have a concern if there was something in the minutes that said, you know, Commissioner Salzman said unambiguously he's opposed to programs supporting children, and it was somehow captured, you know, the opposite of what he said. That's one thing. But words that are misspelled or not capitalized or something. I mean, I get the gist of this. I take it that at any time, someone, one of us, or someone from the public can contact your office.
Yes.
And it gets updated to reflect what anyone flags. Is that right?
Sure. Yep.
The goal is to always have it as accurate as possible, but the purpose of this version is to get the sense of what was said.
Yes. The substance.
And to satisfy state law.
Right.
Which was written probably originally before there were recording devices.
Right.
Probably.
So that's what's changed and allows us this kind of more efficient and effective approach. You can listen and watch what happened in the city council. You don't have to rely exclusively on what's written. All right.
One curiosity. The people who do the closed captioning, do they provide a written transcript, or do we have to make a written transcript of the closed captioning?
They provide that to us, right, and then that's what Sue takes and puts it in a macro, and then she sends it to the next person for review. It puts the names in, I should say.
All right. Every time this issue comes up, I learn just a little more. Anyone wish to testify in this matter? Sue, how are you?
Very well, thank you.
Happy New Year. Can you please call the vote?
Fritz.
Thank you very much for your diligence and for working with me on this. I greatly appreciate it. Aye.
Fish?
Yeah, thank you. And I just want to especially compliment all of you on the enhancements you've made to the website. You know, that's we still get emails and comments from the public from time to time about, you know, the challenges they find in navigating the city system. And that's why the whole system ultimately is going to be updated and replaced. But there are things we can do within our existing technology, and you demonstrate that here. And so I compliment you on your work.
Thank you. Saltzman.
Yes, I also want to compliment you on your work. I think, you know, I think our current system, I wasn't aware we're replacing it, but I think our current system works pretty well. I think we are, you know, probably the most transparent government. This latest feature definitely helps. But, you know, my office all the time is looking at previous meetings to see what I may have said or what somebody else may have said. You know, and it's effortless. I mean, it doesn't require any work at all, and that's thanks to the good work that you're doing on your website. So I think you're doing a great job. Aye.
Mayor, if I could just clarify, my comment was not to this particular system. It was to accessing the city's websites.
Right.
And particularly at budget time, people sometimes find it difficult to navigate, and I think it's a function sometimes of people's technological proficiency. But
well, we're working on it. It can be improved. We're working on it.
Leonard.
Aye.
Adams.
Thank you. Thank you to the entire team. Tony, really appreciate it. All your great work, Carlo. Madam Auditor.
Aye.
All right. Can you please read the title for item number 8, pulled from the consent agenda? Mr. Jones, could you please come forward?
Authorized grant application to the Federal Highway Administration for a grant up to $1,350,000 for I-405 Cooch Burnside interchange improvements.
So the most dangerous corridors in the city are sort of the corridor and cross of Foster, 82nd Avenue, 122nd Avenue, and the Gleason-Everett Burnside corridor on the west side.
Right.
And so in the past 7 years that I've been Transportation Commissioner, we've actually, I don't know what the numbers are, but we've prioritized East Portland for much of our safety improvements because it's only been part of the city in some cases for, you know, less than 40 years, and the county didn't make the appropriate transportation investments out there when it was under county control, so making up for lost time. This, though, is approving a grant application from the Federal Highway Administration for improvements back on that third dangerous corridor that I talked about related to the I-405 Cooch Burnside interchange. It is needed regardless of whatever happens to other safety improvements, and Mr. Jones here will tell us more details.
Good morning. Greg Jones with the Portland Office of Transportation. So this is a grant application to ODOT for federal funding, and these federal funds are being distributed throughout the state on a competitive basis, and they're being ranked by ODOT based upon the cooperation between an ODOT project and a city project. So each local agency is going to be coming forward to ODOT with projects, but those that will score the best will be those where there is a tie between an ODOT improvement on their system and the city improvement on our system. We've only had about 8 weeks to put this application together, so we ran through a very quick process in order to do that. We did consider other state highways and projects within the city, And this project was the one that was ready to go, which was one of the criteria of the grant application. This project is in our transportation system plan. It is not in our CIP because only projects in our CIP are those that are funded. So once this becomes funded, then it will become a part of our CIP if we're successful in this grant application. We do have letters of support from the Northwest Neighborhood Association, from Willamette Pedestrian Coalition, and from the Bicycle Transportation Alliance. And this work is being done in cooperation with a project that by ODOT that would improve the ramps off of and onto 405 in this location. So it is a opportunity to tie their work at that location with the work at the intersection of Burnside Everett Cooch to create a safer situation for all modes passing through these intersections.
Commissioner Fritz.
Thank you. I was more confused by the public involvement statement than informed, because it said that the project was initiated after a letter dated October 17th, 2011 was sent by the Northwest District Association. It sounds like this project has, in fact, been in the planning stages for longer than that.
That's right. The work is, we have had a number of projects on Burnside, Upper Burnside, that have been identified for a number of years. We simply haven't had the funds to do that work. Northwest Neighborhood Association sent a letter asking for a wide variety of improvements, not the letter that I was passed out here, but a previous letter that asked for a large number of improvements in the Northwest District area. The funding opportunity came up in November, and so we took Northwest's consideration, their requests into consideration as we looked at other requests throughout the city, but found that this one was the best fit for the criteria and the time available.
So was there any other citywide input? Do you have a Bureau Advisory Committee that helps look at these and agree that, yes, this is the one we should go for?
We have a Bureau Advisory Committee that is looking at our budget right now. They generally do not look at our grant applications. So the director's team within the Office of Transportation looks at our grant applications and gives direction to staff to move forward with those. And as with all grant applications, they must come to City Council for approval before we submit. In this situation, we normally would run a public process to identify our grant applications. We had basically 8 weeks during the holidays in order to move this project forward. And we had a project that had been previously identified, so we had the opportunity to at least submit this application, but did not have the opportunity to run a large public process.
Thank you, and I do appreciate the Willamette Pedestrian Coalition sending in a letter yesterday and the Bicycle Transportation Alliance sending one in on January 2nd. That's helpful. What we have found in some of my bureaus is having an executive committee of a Bureau Advisory Committee can be pulled together relatively quickly to look over the criteria, just so that we have more citizen eyes, so that when I get messages this week, which I may, on why wasn't Barber chosen, why wasn't Foster chosen, why wasn't, you know, another of other intersections between city projects and state highways, that we know that there has been that citizen input. Is that something that you could consider in the future?
Certainly.
Thank you.
We'll do that.
I'm fully in support of this. I just wanted to get a little more details. So the Oregon Department of Transportation is going to do some improvements to the 405 Cooch Burnside exit, and then the money we're applying for is to do improvements at those intersections where the 405 off-ramp intersects with Cooch and Burnside.
That's correct. That's absolutely perfect description of what we're doing.
And our improvements will be related to improve bicycle pedestrian safety, basically, at those intersections.
Right. So they will modify the signals at those locations. You have a very confusing set of intersections there that will be simplified, and then will provide better improvements for both bikes, peds, and for auto use through those intersections.
And that's the work we'll do.
That's right.
I'm just curious, what is ODOT contemplating to do with the Cooch Burnside exit?
My understanding is that they are basically modifying the ramps onto and off of the freeway where they hit the city street system. And there's a series of islands and turns that are really set up with really bad geometry, basically, from 20, 30 years ago when they built 405 originally. So those are the modifications they'd be making.
I just have a question. I'm sorry.
Well, just this is an opportunity for us to do it while they're doing that other construction, and that's really a savings and would allow us to score higher, in my opinion, on their scoring as opposed to a standalone project where they're not going to be doing work. So I think that is another reason why I support this. The other reason is that we've always had this. We've been stuck in a cul-de-sac. We've got, 11 inches of sidewalk on the north side of the overpass at Burnside and I-405, and we can never have it addressed, and it's an incredibly dangerous part of the city. We can never get it to score high because to get to that overpass is really screwed up.
Exactly right.
So this at least sets up future decision makers to like qualify for other federal funding to actually put a sidewalk on both sides of Burnside as it crosses I-405.
Right, but we have to fix the intersections first.
And I appreciate this discussion. This may be the most vetted grant application we've had during my 3 years of council, but the question that I guess I would have is, since we have a tradition of being opportunistic in responding to needs as they come up, does this particular grant application displace any other grant application we've put in or compete with something else for those limited dollars?
This will be the only grant application for this grant series. We looked at several others, but they were not in the same state of readiness that this project was. And one of the criteria is that this money has to be spent quickly. We're at about 35% design for these improvements, and there were no other projects that were similar to that and that were also on a time track that would match a state improvement.
That's very helpful. Thank you.
Is the business association in support as well as the neighborhood association?
I don't believe we have a letter yet from the business association. No, we don't have a letter yet from them.
And then my final, thank you for that answer. How does this relate to the west side Burnside-Cooch couplet?
This is not a part of the west side Burnside, the Cooch couplet. It's really independent of the couplet project. Right now, the couplet project is on hold because of funding issues. We're simply unable to move that forward at this point. But we have been looking at a series of improvements along Upper Burnside and Lower Burnside, and this would not conflict with those kinds of improvements, simpler improvements.
So it would work with any future improvements, and it would also work as a standalone if
that's
we
right.
leave it as is.
That's correct.
Thank you.
Any other council conversation about this? Anyone wish to testify? Did anyone from the Fire Bureau? Anyone? Anyone at all? Okay. Can you please call the vote on the grant application?
Fritz.
Thank you very much for answering my questions. Also, okay. Catherine Cherilew and Katja Dillman in your office, Mira, very helpful. Aye.
Fish?
Yeah, I appreciated the discussion. Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Adams?
I, too, appreciated the discussion. I want to thank Commissioner Fritz for pulling at the complexities of ready to go, the complexities of need, and the pre-design work having been done and scoring high because ODOT's going to be working there anyway, so we, on top of that, get more value for the more improvements for the money spent. And then for those that have not walked Burnside ever, you wouldn't know that the 11 in one of the busiest streets in the city, there's 11 inches of sidewalk on one half of two blocks. So we've had a lot of people killed and injured in this area, so this doesn't solve all that, but it moves us in a direction where we will be able to solve it. I want to thank you and the team for fast footwork on this. I know we didn't have a lot of time. Aye.
Thank you.
All right. What does that get us to? 21. Can you please read the title for item number 21?
Authorize a contract and provide payment for the purchase of a tractor-drawn aerial apparatus for Portland Fire and Rescue.
Commissioner Randy Lynn.
Thank you, Mayor Adams and Council. I ask that this be pulled because we discovered an error on the original ordinance. This ordinance, if passed, will allow us to accept a grant from the Federal Emergency Management Association in the amount of $720,000 to replace the aerial apparatus, otherwise known as the fire truck, at Station 3 on Northwest 17th and Johnson, which has reached the end of its life. And the $720,000 grant, along with $280,000 from the bond that we passed a year ago last November, will allow us to purchase this $1 million fire truck. The original ordinance said $180,000 from the bond. The correct amount was $280,000. Given that we were going to remove it from the consent agenda and amend it, we went ahead and offered more detailed explanation as to the nature of the competitive bidding process and the local companies that we will be using in securing and equipping this fire truck. So I need to move to substitute the ordinance with the one that was passed out to council.
It's been moved and seconded. Any council discussion on the substitution? Carla, can you please call the vote on the motion to substitute?
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. Motion approved.
Thank you, council.
Thank you. Now considering the substitution.
Good work, gentlemen.
Oh, can I? Wait, before you go. I'm just trying to picture this. Is it actually a tractor-drawn apparatus or
it's
a truck?
It's how it's described. In the fire service, a fire engine carries the hose and the waters, and the fire trucks carry the ladders and the aerial ladder. In some instances, there are fire trucks that are one large vehicle that don't require a trailer and a tractor, so that you have a tiller person in the back driving the trailers. Yeah. This particular fire truck is one of the types that requires a tiller person in the back, and it's specifically required at this particular station on Northwest 17th and Johnson, because if you can imagine, the hills up in Northwest Portland are very tight, and these tractor trailer drawn fire trucks allow for the truck to navigate corners that a standard fire truck would otherwise never be able to get around.
And this is going to be manufactured in Washington, is that right?
No, sir. The actual apparatus is manufactured in Wisconsin.
Oh, Wisconsin.
And the local distributor is in Eugene.
Right. Thanks.
So can you just tell us about why we didn't go out for bid on this, in particular why we didn't go out for bid when we got the Homeland Security grant back in March of last year?
Yes, ma'am. We got the grant on February 4th last year, and we had a one-year window to complete this project. We knew at that time we could not complete the project in 1 year, and we told FEMA that. FEMA said that we would be applying for an extension. And they said there'd be no problem with that. They're aware of the time frames for this apparatus. Unbeknownst to us, they did tell us a couple weeks ago that we had to have a contract in place and if to be successful to apply for an extension. And there was no way we could do the normal request for proposal process in 2 weeks, and we have to have that. FEMA needs that 30 days before the end of the grant. So we really need to apply for the extension next week, and we could not do that, go through the entire process in less than a week.
But why was it that we weren't able to start that process back in March of last year?
We have to do the research and write the specifications. That takes a number of months. And frankly, that as we completed that, I did not have the scrutiny on that project to make certain that we would have enough time to complete that.
And then, so then my understanding is that city code allows us to use, in this case, Seattle's bidding process to parallel ours, and so we're able to go for the conclusion that they reached. Is that a rough understanding?
That is correct, ma'am. Yes, they went through a process. They did a request for proposals. They had a number of proposals come in, and they graded the proposals, and we are allowed to utilize their contract to purchase the apparatus.
And do they have similar rules such as we do on emerging small businesses, women, minorities, benefits, those kinds of things?
I cannot speak to that, but we can certainly find out for you.
Well, in this case, we're talking about contracting for the purchase of a piece of apparatus. It's been a while since I was the commissioner in charge of the Bureau, and it was stolen from me, but my guess is that there are a finite number of manufacturers of this product. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
And probably are there manufacturers of the kind of equipment you need that are, in fact, developed by minority women-owned businesses?
Can you repeat that, sir?
Are there firms, national? We have MWESB requirements. We do in certain kinds of contracting. My assumption here is that there's a number of national firms that
we currently have a contract with for fire engines, for pumpers with this company. So I'm certain they classify. Yes, ma'am.
That's very helpful. Yes. Thank you so much.
Any other discussion? Anyone wish to testify on this matter? Carla, can you please call the vote on the substitute?
Fritz. It's actually on the ordinance.
On the substituted ordinance.
Sorry. Fritz.
Thank you. This is very helpful, and I appreciate your information to my staff ahead of time. Thank you, Commissioner Leonard, for your work on this. Aye.
Fish.
This is, again, I think, a dividend of the GO bond that Commissioner Leonard passed, and the timing was good. Apparently, the polling suggests that just about anything would go down in this current environment. So kudos to you for giving us this opportunity, and appreciate the presentation. Aye.
Thank you, sir.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Leonard.
Thank you. Aye.
Adams.
Aye. So approved, and we are adjourned for the week.
Thank you very much.
How are you?
Yeah. That late letter from
I was good.
Why is okay?
Really?
I was just good. Well, my husband was on my call.
Sorry.
So
really?
Yeah. That's why they had the rainbow.
Oh, wow.
Margie Sullivan.
All right. How do you do? Welcome aboard.
Yeah. Nice to meet you. Yesterday she already wrote all of you by understanding.
Good, I'm good.
All right, there will be a quiz.
You're welcome aboard. Oh, great, thanks. And if you're available now or later in the